Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in this world. Father, we just ask right now that we're all in agreement right now, Lord, over Ukraine. And Lord, we just believe that those people are going to call on You in their time of desperation. Lord, may they call on You in Your name and be saved. You said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May they call on Your name, Jesus, and be saved. Father, we thank You that you're going to do that. And Lord, we pray for Your angels to be over them right now. Your ministering angels of salvation to be over that entire area of Ukraine in Jesus' name. Over those hospitals and those children, those families. Or just do a work there. Father, we thank You. Now, Lord, we ask that You continue to lead us and guide us by the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit. And we receive Your Word today with meekness, the very Word that's able to save our soul. And we trust You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. We've been looking at this word commit, and it's been our buzzword from the beginning of the year, and the idea of being committed. When you can't have a healthy marriage if you're not committed, right? You can't have a healthy career without being committed. You can't have a healthy church without being committed. You aren't going to become all that God created you to be without commitment. It has to be commitment. So this idea of commitment is vital when it comes to the things of God and it comes to accomplishing anything of any real value. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways. Right? And when we go His way, now we're getting the way that He created us for. You see that? So the word commit literally means, it's the word Golgotha in Hebrew, Golgotha. And so think about this. I thought about this week, and I've known this, but I just thought about it, that the word Golgotha is where Goliath comes from. Golgotha. So now look, Goliath's head was cut off by David and it was buried on Golgotha's hill. Golgotha is where Jesus was crucified. And that's where He defeated death on the cross. Death was the biggest giant we had to face. There's a spiritual implication there. When you're committed, you can defeat the biggest giants you face in life. Without commitment, you're not going to defeat those giants. That giant will keep you from everything God has for you in life. And you can if you're committed. If you're not committed, it's not going to happen. So, And the whole implication there is, are you willing to die for what you're committed to? We should be willing to die for what we're committed to, for what we believe. Now, the word commitment also means to roll away. And it comes from camels. When they would be on a journey, they would be journeying and their water would deplete. They hold 12 to 14 gallons of water in those humps. Well, they would go on these long journeys and the water would deplete. And so they would have to get down on their knees and they would roll away the loads on their back. And so the concept behind that is they're removing the burden, the roll away the burden, so they could be refreshed and continue on the journey. So here's the idea. You're to start your day. The word commit means roll away. You roll away your burdens onto the Lord. You see that? And that's why he says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. When you start your day, you give it to the Lord. Now you don't take your burden to your job, wherever you go. You left it with the Lord. See, if you take it on your job, the devil's got somebody there to feed your burden, to feed your problem, to make your problem bigger than it really is. And they'll speak to it. Maybe it's Kroger's. Maybe it's when you go to lunch. Maybe there's somebody. Maybe it'll be a phone call. Something to add to your burden. But if you left it with the Lord, you're free to be you on your job and express Christ. You see that? Do you see that? That's huge. That's what committed people do. Because, see, they're so committed, that's all they want. That's all they want. They want to be an expression of what Christ has done for them. And they're grateful and thankful for what God has done for them by saving them and calling them out of darkness and into his light. You see that? And showing them the truth about who they are. See, God's trying to show you the you haven't met yet. And you can't meet that person unless you're committed to him. That's good stuff right there. All right. So, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Remember, trust is a big problem. Remember I told you Henry Cloud said the biggest problem that comes in his office, he's a world-renowned Christian psychologist and theologian. The trust is the biggest problem that's come in his door. Every time, the problems usually are identified in a trust issue. And here's one of the biggest trust problems is father wounds. Fathers haven't done their job in teaching their children. And when a father doesn't do their job in teaching their children, it causes trust issues in the children. You see that? When a father doesn't lead the family, it causes them to be broken and their trust to be broken. But if the children are led and there's a trust between their fathers, a healthy relationship, it helps them. It says the healthiest children are those who have been taught the Bible and taught by their father. It creates the healthiest children. You see that? And remember I told that story about how Henry Cloud said when he was 7, he was playing army under the house. Do you remember that story? And his dad, he was smoking cigarettes under the house. And the neighbor told his dad that he was smoking under there. And at the table, he said, "Son, were you smoking?" And he told him the truth. He says, "Yeah." Well, after dinner, he took him and bought him a ball glove that he wanted. And he let him know. And Henry said, "Why did you buy me that expensive ball glove?" He said, "Because you told me the truth." You see that? That produces healthy children. Now look, all kinds of people go to him for counsel. Are you getting that? I know world-renowned pastors that seek him. I got to spend a week with him years ago when my wife left me. I need counsel. We all need counsel. I want to stay healthy for you all. You see this? Doesn't this make sense? Why would you? Because he's a theologian. Trust is huge. If you can trust, It frees you to be you. Catch this. The word trust means careless. It means careless. I know I talk about this every week, but we're going to drive this. I can be careless when I trust. If I trust, I can be careless. I don't have to. I can be careless with Donita, right? I can tell her anything and everything. I tell you all anything and everything. You know why? Because I trust the Lord. And what you do with it doesn't matter. What do you think about that? That's how it is. When we learn to trust, it makes you healthier. Security. You're not going to put your money in a bank where there are people gossiping and talking about how people are getting into people's savings accounts and the bank's taking their money out of their accounts. And the weeds are growing up and the windows haven't been cleaned in 20 years. You're not going to go there with your money, right? Because you can't trust it. You're going to go where you can trust. Does this make sense? Trust is huge. Now look, trust also in Him. What happens? And He shall bring it to pass. See, if you don't deal with those issues with your father, you're always going to have a trust problem. And he can't get the wisdom you need to you to heal you. You see that? It says in Psalms 51, 5 and 6, but God desires truth in our most inward parts. In our most inward parts. And he will make you to know wisdom. When you trust in him, he's going to bring the wisdom you need to navigate your life in the narrative that he's created you for. He's going to help you with your story in life, your true identity. All right, now. And he shall bring it to pass. What? Whatever your problem is. Whatever your struggle is. It could be, you know, it's something. You know, I was with Harry Egbert. Thursday, he had a heart operation. And, you know, they had all these different scenarios they were going to do. And he had a mechanical thing in there helping him with his ticker, heart. So they got in there, and they saw something that nobody else had seen before. He had tests over tests all his year. He's 70. I'll just say he's 70, 73. Nate, that's close. But he's that old. He's all, but they're, in this heart operation, they found something. One side, one piece of his, of it, where the blood enters his heart, was blocked from birth. They just fixed that, and now coming from both. He didn't have energy. He had flutter problems. His heart, going up and down. All now, he's like a new person. He had that done on Thursday, and I was there. And I was there when he got out. And the doctor came in and wrote on the board exactly what happened. I said, that's a miracle. Amen. You found that? That's a miracle. Now look, yeah, God uses doctors. Now look, I thought, well, I'll call him up on Friday, check on him, and you know, he'll probably be laying around trying to get back to where he, you know, that, I mean, you know, get in there where your heart is, that's going to cause you to have to, you know where he was? He was at Culver's getting ready to eat a big old cheeseburger. And laughing, full of energy. I felt the presence of God. Am I making sense? Yes. Folks, listen, he'll bring it to pass. Harry's a man that trusts God. Oh, man, that just helps me right there. You know, it's like we keep growing. You know, the wilderness isn't, you're not going through the wilderness. You're growing in the wilderness. You got to understand that you're supposed to be growing in the wilderness. Make sense? Now look at this. He'll bring it to pass. In other words, your problem, your difficulty, you'll see it and think, why'd that ever bother me? You know what? He may not move it, but he'll cause your perception of it to change. And you'll think, you used to confabulate, have all these ideas and bring up these ideas that don't even exist about something, and you're just thinking that way because you don't understand. But when God brings it to pass, it's like, I can't even believe that mattered to me. I see it now. And that's what he does. He helps your perception. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. All right. So go with me to our 1 Corinthians passage on our calling. Remember, God calls us. And when he calls us, it puts a demand on our deficiencies. Remember, we're born into this world in sin. So we're born into this world psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically at odds and in contradiction to God because of sin. That's why we need to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. The word see there means understand. To understand this kingdom, you got to be born again of the Spirit. And so now look, when we're born again, now we're in a position to see things differently. And now God's word calls you. See that? Through vision. And the word vision means, listen, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So God calls you through prophecy, prophetic, redemptive uncovering. God shows you, he speaks his word over you, and he'll show you an area in your life. You'll see it. And it'll make you uncomfortable, but God's saying, that's the area I'm after. That's the area I want to help you with. And you'll say, you'll begin to start to work on it and allow him to redeem it. And why did I ever think that way? Why did I even consider that? That's called vision. Now you're seeing it differently. Are you getting this? This is huge. And that's why it's so important to be in a Bible-believing church. Because God's word is true. And his word, when it's prophesied over us and spoken over us, it calls us, all those areas of our life, into alignment with his divine design. He designed you. He wants you to live by his design, not by your impulses. People live by their impulses. And you can live by your impulses and miss everything God has for you here on this earth. And you'll die in your grave and you'll miss God's plan and purpose because you lived according to your impulses. Am I making sense? God calls you to live according to his word. All right. Now, let's look at this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. This word wise is conventional wisdom. See that? There's a conventional wisdom, and there's a wisdom from God. So God doesn't call you with conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom would be intelligent, you know, high IQ, smart. The world sees you as something special because you're smart. That's what he doesn't call you with. He doesn't call you with that kind of wisdom. He calls you with his wisdom. Now wait, stay with me. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty. Remember, the word mighty has to do with political power. Political power or council, city council power. You know, you go to the White House and you walk in and you see all this history and you feel it. Or you're in a parade and there's a president with all this motorcade around him, and they drive by, and you feel this. That's mighty. You feel that. That's not what he's talking about. He doesn't call many people with from that arena. Does this make sense? You don't see too many politicians going into the ministry, right? And going on mission work, right? You know, and not many. You know, there's maybe one or, you know, a couple, you know. Not many, right? Mighty. So, now look what he says. and not many noble are called. Remember, we talked about noble last week, of high birth, aristocratic, you know, upper echelon. You know, you don't smoke and you don't chew and you don't go with those that do. You just you. You know what? God don't call those folks. We went, remember the word noble? It's the Greek word Eugene. And that's okay if you had the word name Eugene, it's okay. Eugene. That's what this word noble is, the Greek word Eugene. Really is. And Eugene means of high birth. That's what it means. Now, it means born with excellent genes. Remember, I told you it's not these kind of genes. So, Olivia is home from college. She goes to Ohio Northern. And so, you know, we did a couple little things. We didn't go anywhere this time. We got other plans we're going to do later. So we said we'd take her out to dinner Friday night. So we took her out to a nice place. You know, not a place we go all the time, but a nice place. And she got all dressed up. She looked so beautiful, you know. She had a nice dress on and had her hair did. And she was looking good. And so we walk in there and we sit down and she says to me, she goes, "Boy, we're running a Eugene outfit now." That was funny. You know, we're being high and noble, you know. And you had to unroll your napkin and, you know, everything's, you know what I mean? And the people are all just kind of being, you know. And then we start busting out laughing and carrying on. We're really not being too noble. And then we leave and she says, "Well, we can be ourselves now." We don't have to be Eugene anymore. But I thought that was pretty good. That's huge. All right. So, high descent, right? He doesn't choose many of those. Okay, so let me keep moving here. Okay. Born, you know, like people who were born in a famous family and they enjoy privileges only because of their last name. You know, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, those would be nobility. All right, so God hasn't specialized in calling these groups of people. Now watch. Let's go to the next one. Verse 27. But God has chosen what? The foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Now look at that. God chooses the foolish things. You know what? I know I fit in that category. Because I was foolish. How about you? We got some honest folks in here. I was foolish. Pastor Steve back there. I didn't even ask you to raise your hand. Pastor Steve's got his going. But here's the idea. He chooses the foolish things. Isn't that incredible? You know, he chooses the foolish things because the world sees them as foolish. He doesn't really see them as foolish. But he chooses what the world sees as foolish. Now, get a hold of this. This is what the word foolish means. M-O-R-A-I-N-O. Morano. It's where we get the word moron. Look at your neighbor and say, "No, don't." You could, but you know, we're not going to today. We'll wait till we get something good to call our neighbor. All right. This is what God uses. Now listen to this word moron. That's what the word foolish means, the Greek word morano, moron. It means idiot. That's what it means. It means imbecile. It means half-wit, numbskull, dimwit, dunce. You know, I remember when I was in second grade, my teacher, she was real curmudgeoned, and she lived by herself, and she was just real, you know, just real kind of mean. You know, she just didn't have, she didn't smile a lot. And you know, I was a little rascal. And she had this dunce hat. And she'd put you in the corner if you acted up, and you'd had to wear this dunce hat. It says you were dunce in the corner. Now, I had to sit there in that corner quite a few times with that dunce hat. It never worked. Never changed anything. I still just... She was just mean. That's all I remember about her. Anybody have any of those? Anybody ever have to wear a dunce hat? Oh, good, good. See, I'm not the only one. Some of you just don't want to tell any. This is what this word means. Dunce. Blockhead. It means dope, ignoramus, jerk, or twerp. Now, the truth is no one is an idiot and no one is a twerp or a imbecile. But it's what the world thinks. And God chooses those people intentionally. You see that? Now, he chooses those people that the world views as nimwits, lame brains, and idiots. The word morano was used in Paul's time to depict whom the world scorned and made fun of. And that's what God is talking about. You know, I remember I was the type of person that when people would make fun of them or people would bully them, they would come and get me. My friends would come and get me. Hey, take care of this guy. Because I was a little taller, but I'll tell you what, I was just kind of angry. Because I was a little rascal. Because I didn't have anybody helping me get dressed and stuff, go to school. My mom had this, you know, diagnosis, paranoia, schizophrenic. And she wasn't home. And so I was leaving, going to school by myself. And I just did what I thought was best. So I got made. And then my mom would come home on weekends and she would be in this stupor because of her ailment. And people would throw things at her and make fun of her. That hurt. And I had this pain in me. And so people would come and get me. Hey, take care of this guy. I'd go get him. I said, don't you ever mess with this person again. And he'd leave him alone.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.